pour out.
Where shall we begin, Kat?
Well, Kia. It has been a week of a lot. There's a lot. Once again, I feel like every time we talk, there's always so much to talk about.
There is.
The lead up to this inauguration was definitely had me just feeling a little heightened for sure. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a beautiful celebration and ceremony today. I thought it was really, it made me feel calmer for sure.
I love, you know, and whether you voted for Trump or Biden, it doesn't matter. And I've always said that I am nonpartisan. I'm not Democrat and I'm not Republican. I'm for whoever God puts on my heart. I loved the message that Biden said about unity among everyone. And my prayer is that that truly happens.
Me too.
That would just be such a blessing if we could just all come together as mm-hmm. one. And I know that, you know, our nation has a lot of history of racism, of a lot of hatred. And I know that it'll take, you know, it's going to take some time. It's going to take a lot of time, but, you know, baby steps.
Work in progress,
yeah.
too. A constant work in progress. I ran into this lady at the park the other day, and we were laughing about how it's not funny, but it is funny that we live in a time where there used to be a time where you could think one way and I could think another, and we still respect each other and move on. But it's not like that anymore. It's like, if you believe this and you're an idiot if you don't believe what I believe. And,
right.
and I hate you because you think if you support this person, then you're this. There's just so much contention.
Yeah.
And it's sad to me because we've lost touch with the beautiful thing about humans is that we're different. We have different perspectives of things. That's what makes you grow as a person. When you could share what you believe and I might go, oh, I hadn't looked at it like that. Or oh, you've given me a different perspective. And it just feels like that's not how the world is right now.
Right.
So my prayer too is that we can just have some unity and some reconnection because it's really upsetting and unsettling. And we've seen that just manifesting over and over.
Well, I love that you brought up, you know, our experiences kind of help us to become the people that we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my experiences as an African-American woman and your experiences as an Australian, we were talking about some of the terms that you've never heard in Australia that mm-hmm. exists in America. And, you know, and I'm going to bring this up yesterday, before I started my Bible study, I happened to go on my Instagram and I had a hate message from someone that I didn't even know. I hadn't posted anything about anything. I think probably the last post I posted was about a guest that we're going to have on our show. And a person decided that they were going to call me a nigger and call me ugly. And for that brief moment, you know, I felt like steam was coming out of my nostrils and my ears. And I had spoken to my husband. And then I settled into saying, that's not my problem. That's their problem.
Yeah.
Because you don't know me. You don't know me from Adam. And I decided that I wasn't going to give that person attention.
That they want.
And that's what it was all about. And so for anyone that says that racism doesn't exist or hatred doesn't exist or have not been watching the news the last year or even the last years it's been going on, but I just feel like it's become more in your face within the last year.
Yes.
It does exist.
Of course.
It does. And
of
just
course.
Because you may not have experienced it, doesn't make it not valid for other people. And, you know, my experiences with it have created the person that you see before you. And although this is not the first time I've been called a nigger. This is not the first time that somebody has said something derogatory about me and they're a different race than myself. That hasn't steered my mind from loving everybody, regardless of what skin color they are. That hasn't caused me to put white people in a box.
To polarize.
Mm-hmm. To put anybody inside of a box. Because I don't want to be put inside of a box just because of my skin color.
That's such a frustrating part of human nature, is that it's all about, like, I feel like it's all about what your comfort level is, like the stereotyping. We do stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, whether it's skin, job, what someone wears. And I think it's really interesting. Like, for example, if you see someone that's wearing more conservative clothes, for example, you naturally think that that person is, we judge them by what they look like.
Right.
And it's frustrating to me, because there's been so many times where someone might look a certain way and then you talk to them and you're like, whoa,
yes,
it's enlightening.
Yes.
Like, they're nothing like I expected. People think all the time that I'm stuck up because I look like a certain way and I have a certain voice, and they assume that I'm going to be stuck up, that I'm going to be like snooty, going to be judgmental. And that's not who I am.
Yeah.
So I keep going back to, what do we teach our children? What we teach our children is how we change the world. Because they're that, like the girl today, Amanda Gorman, everything she said in that poem, I'm like, oh my gosh, if that's the future, that's bright. That's a bright future.
Yeah.
Unity, empowerment, just embracing who God created you to be. That's how we change the world.
So, you know, I love some of the things that you have taught your children, and some of the things you've allowed and not allowed inside of your home. What are some things that you could say to our listeners, as, you know, a white woman, mm-hmm. teaching them about other cultures and appreciating other cultures? What are some of the things that you've said to your kids about loving and respecting other people?
Well, one thing that I think that I'm very grateful to my parents for is that they were raised both of them, not a lot of money, right? My mother was dirt poor. My dad moved to Australia when he was in his 20s with $1,000 to his name. So they were self-made. And so they really wanted me to experience the world from a very young age. So although I grew up in a very small community that was very white, I experienced a lot of cultures. Like when I was 7, my parents took me to Fiji. We used to go to Fiji. Fiji's like Hawaii to here. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of Australians go there for summer vacations. And so we used to go to Fiji, and we used to stay on this island called Treasure Island. And literally my parents would not see me. I would be gone with the natives of the island. And there was this woman, Philo, her name was. She was the hairdresser on the island. And she just pretty much just adopted me. She just was like, you're mine. And she was probably in her early 20s. Most beautiful woman. And I just thought she was like a goddess. She was gorgeous. And she would braid my hair and put beads in it. And she would teach me Fijian, and she was teaching me to hula dance and all this stuff. And so at a young age, I was exposed to different cultures. I went to Europe. I went to Vanuatu. I just had got to embrace a lot of different kinds of people. And then I went to a high school that had a lot of gay people there. So I was exposed to people that were different from me. And I think that was such a great thing that they gave me.
Yeah.
And so I want my children to experience that, to not just be in a community where everybody looks like you. So that's one thing I try to teach. I travel with my children. I try to encourage them to have friends of all types of people. And one thing, like growing up in Australia, I've said this to you before, the N-word was, I didn't understand that word. Like to me, that wasn't part of my culture growing up.
Right.
So when I moved here, and I moved here right after the riots, the Rodney King riots. So to me, that word really represented hatred and division and racism.
It still does.
And it still does. And so I actually have raised my children that word is like a really bad cuss word. That's the worst word you could ever use. So they know that if they hear that word, it's triggering for them. And so that's another thing that I try to do. And just trying to raise them to look at someone's character, that it's not about what they look like, what they wear, that you're looking at their heart. like Dr. King taught, judge someone by the content of their character. And that's basically it. I mean, I, other than them having Christian values too, I think I've really tried to raise my kids with an awareness of God being in charge, like God is our judge. So no matter what you say, he hears and he sees everything.
Yeah.
So you might think you're hiding it from me, but he sees it.
So. Well, you know, I love that your kids have always called me auntie and my kids have always called you auntie as mm-hmm. well. And I love, I love their mindset and how they see no color.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. And as an African-American mom, teaching my children who yeah. are multiracial.
Yeah. Yes. Cause that's definitely, it must've been challenging for them this year too.
Well, it's interesting because my husband is Italian, Filipino, Lithuanian, but looks
Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican on some days. And so, but you can definitely tell my children have African American in them.
Yeah.
And so whenever they walk anywhere, they'll identify them as African American before any other race.
That's how do they identify themselves though? Do they identify as biracial or do they feel like they identify more with it because that's what they look like?
I believe they identify as biracial
mm-hmm.
and I want them to be, identify themselves as biracial because they need to, encompass all that they are and be proud of all that they are. And I believe that they do.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is society sees them as black and black only. Once you have black in you, if you look black, then you have to be black.
Halle Berry used to talk about that yeah. all the time.
And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but they have experienced some of the things that I have as well.
Because that they look a certain
because
way.
Because they look a certain
yeah.
way.
The judgment.
Yes.
Yeah.
I grew up, we were not rich by any means either. my classrooms, you know, were very diverse. I grew up around, you know, Filipinos. I obviously not Australian or anyone from.
Am I your first?
Filipino, Hispanic, African American. Like there were a lot of us. So I have friends of all races,
mm-hmm.
and some of my best friends were Chinese and Filipino and Mexican, and you know that's how I grew up.
But that's
so,
the world. That is the world we live in.
That is the world. And so I have taught my children the same.
Yeah.
And some of their best friends are of every ethnicity. So I would love for the world, because I recognize that it's not just in the United States of America, would understand that the world is a melting pot.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever get there. Just because it's been so many centuries and years and decades and so forth, I don't know that we'll ever get there. But we can change one person at a time. And that is my hope.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
Nothing's impossible with God.
I believe that.
And it all comes down, like, if anything from this year that I've really noticed, it comes down to power. That's what it's about. That's what this whole thing has been about. And if we keep empowering those people, we're not going to change.
Yeah.
So you have to look at like, what are my beliefs? What am I empowering?
You know, for those of you that are listening, Catherine and I are both Christian. We both identify as our faith as Christian. And so you will be hearing a lot about God because that is just innately who we are. And I believe that, you know, ultimately God's will be done. It will be done. And, you know, I can't say that through life I've never cried or never been like, why God, why did this happen or why did that not happen? There's been many, many moments of that. But ultimately, I feel like I have this peace when I know that he's in control.
Yeah.
When I know that if I just push everything over to him and I'm like, Lord, this is literally your problem. Can you please take care of it? And I just trust that he's going to handle it all, that he does.
It's interesting because if I think back on the lowest parts of my life, the parts with the most painful in my life, that's when I felt the most peace because I really felt my faith like as my cushion, my hammock, I guess, my emotional hammock. And I think that when I look at the world and I see people struggling and depressed and in pain and anxious, I always feel sad because I think, gosh, if only they had faith, that might help give them some peace.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do this world without God.
Yeah. So, I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
It would be extremely difficult, and I don't want to try.
Right.
I definitely don't want to try.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a heavy week. It's been a heavy year, but I do have hope, and I'm optimistic moving forward that no matter what like Nikia said in the beginning, no matter what you believe, what party you're on, some people that are listening may feel really discouraged right now, mm-hmm. because they wanted a different situation. But you just have to know that you're just one little dot in a huge web, and we can only control our own environment and what we put out into the world. We can't change who's president. We can't change what's going on, but we can take little steps to make change in our own lives.
Yes. And we should do that.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies is Evan Almighty. Oh.
I like Bruce Almighty.
I like Bruce Almighty too. But what I like about Evan Almighty is some of the quotes in the movie when Morgan Freeman would be talking to Evan or talking to his wife, and you know, he would say one person at a time, I can't even remember what his saying was, but it was, change comes one person at a time, one step at a time. It's almost like when you're trying to overcome alcoholism or drugs, it's one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. Just one, you know, I used to tell my life group, I would give extra assignments. I was like, okay, we've finished our study. And then, so this week, our goal is every day when you go out, when we could go out before COVID, tell someone that you don't know hello and ask them how they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and see how it changes their world.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that. I remember this one person so stood out to me to this day. And my older son, he's 20 now. He must have been about 4. We were inside of the grocery store, and you know, I've always shared love with my children and had them share love with other people. And so I was pushing the shopping cart, and Nolan was sitting in the very front. And there was this older gentleman who just had a scowl on his face, did not look like he was having a happy day. And Nolan said, "Hi, sir, how are you today?"
Hmm.
And the guy turned around, his whole demeanor just changed in his face. And he was like, "Hi. I'm doing so good. Oh, thank you so much for asking." He just needed someone to care.
Yeah.
He needed someone to show that he was there. Like he just needed to be recognized. And his whole person just changed.
He just completely lifted his spirit.
He felt seen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something to really remember too when you're driving and someone cuts you off, or we take things so personally. You just never know what someone's going through. We had a guy one time, my kid's same, probably around the same age as Nolan was. We were in a line to get sandwiches, and this boy was just slamming things around. He was really ticked off, the guy making the sandwiches. And I just he's like slamming things, and I was like, oh my gosh, and my kids are like, "Is he okay?" And I'm like, "No, he doesn't seem okay." So I go, "Are you having a tough day today? Are you okay?" And he stopped. He was shocked. He's like, "Yeah, I am having a tough day." I was like, "What's going on?" And he'd had a car accident, and he like had to get a bus to work. And he was like, because his boss wouldn't let him have the done. Like there was a lot going on. And he again felt seen and just noticed. And like most people don't take the time to check in with people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really nice thing to do for people, to just check in and make sure that their heart's okay.
So I challenge you as listeners to do that.
Yeah.
Like challenge yourself to, you know, for those of you that are really, really shy and you, that, you know, you're an introvert, just say hi or open the door for, do a nice gesture for someone and see how it changes that person, changes your day. Cause it even lifts your spirit.
It does.
When my son said that to him, it didn't only change his day, it changed mine.
Yeah.
Because it just felt so good. And when I've done that or opened the door for someone or just told them you look beautiful today, or, you know, it's just, it really changes not only that person, but it also changes us.
And, yes.
And I'm praying that just those little tiny gestures on a day-to-day basis can help bring some love and light to the world, regardless of what you look like, what you believe, any of that.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
All right, guys. Well,
thank you for listening.
Yeah. We'll see you on the next episode of
Super Chat
with Kat and Nikia.